Welcome to Profits Through Podcasting, where we help health-focused entrepreneurs generate leads and revenue for their business through podcasting. I'm your host, Joel Oliver, CEO of East Coast Studio. We launched a podcast about 6 months ago, and I want to do sort of a dear diary here documenting our progress. Now, if you've done this before or you've passed this milestone, well, you're probably going to hear some familiarity in this story. Probably you can relate to it. Now, if you're new and you've only just started podcasting or you've been considering doing it, well, you'll get an idea of what you're in for. So I'm going to give a backstory of our goals and our reasoning for starting a podcast. Then we're going to reflect on what has happened over the last 6 months, some good and bad lessons. And finally, I'll go through some thoughts and plans for us moving forward into the future with this podcast. And hopefully that'll give you some ideas for your own as well. So let's start with the goal of beginning the podcast. Well, the business was doing great, but it got to a point where I thought, okay, well, what's next? I would like to grow this business. It seems to be working well, but how do we expedite the growth? And it was getting a little stagnant, so that wasn't a big concern. It would have been a big concern if, say, the revenue started going down. But at the very least, I wanted to be proactive in that and grow the business and certainly not let it shrink. So in some thinking and researching and talking to different people I knew, I talked to a marketing colleague of mine who runs an agency, and she said, why don't you have a podcast? And I thought, you know what? That's a good point. A lot of people have asked me that over the years. We had also begun doing some content and teaching a little about the benefits of podcasting and a little marketing specifically towards entrepreneurs and why podcasting is such a good marketing tool, how you can repurpose content, that type of thing. And it made a whole lot of sense. If we believe in podcasting so much, then we should have one of our own. There's a whole bunch of benefits there. I had just always preferred to be behind the scenes. I've been doing that my whole life. I was always a tech guy. I was behind the scenes. I wasn't on stage. So that's what I was comfortable with. But I had to break out of my comfort zone. I saw that podcasting was definitely a good idea. We wanted to have content for social media. I knew I could repurpose that from the podcast. And it just gives us more content in general, not only for social media, but we can do mailing lists. We can do LinkedIn posts. It's just a nice, efficient way to do it. There's a whole bunch of reasons why we decided to actually take that leap and get into podcasting. But I think it's a great idea, especially for a podcasting company, because people want to see, does this guy actually know what he's talking about? So I'd been working with other podcasters for years. Then we were finally going to take that leap and dive in and do our own podcast. I was definitely uncomfortable at first. I feel a lot better now. I think I still have a ways to go. But I heard Dan Martell say something interesting recently, too. He's talking about how if you've got something to share, if you have knowledge, you should be sharing that. You should be putting it out there. And that kind of stuck with me because originally my viewpoint, which I think wasn't really correct, was, well, you know, there's so many people out there doing this already. I don't really want to just join in and be another guy with his face talking about stuff. Like, it's already being done. But everybody is unique. You're the only person who is you. And I like that, what Dan said, just if you have something to share, you should be putting it out into the world. It's going to make the world a better place. It's going to help people. So why not? So that's a bit of background on why we started the podcast. Now I want to get into how it's gone, how these 6 months have been, some reflection. So as you may know, we started with 2 episodes a month, 1 every 2 weeks. We are still doing that for now, at least. We've been discussing the possibility of ramping that up, which is a natural progression. I'm going to get into that a little more in the next section. I've found it a little slow if you want to connect with guests as well. So you've got to consider your time and budget and things like that in determining how often you want to do episodes. But if your goal, for example, is to mainly connect with people, the guests that you have on, and you're doing like us, where I'm doing 1 solo episode a month and 1 guest a month, that's only 12 guests a year. It's really not that many when you compare it to, say, doing 4 episodes a month, 1 a week, and a guest on every episode, which may not be the greatest thing yet. We're going to talk about that, but just pointing that out that it feels to me quite slow in the networking realm because I just have to pace myself and how many people we have on since I only have 1 guest slot a month. Initially, I actually did get way too ahead. I was kind of scared that I would run out of episodes. And I wanted to have a nice buffer there. And I actually had to slow down because we're starting to pile up too many. And I had a 3 to 4 month wait for people from when they did the interview to when the podcast went live. That's too long of a gap for me. I want to keep it to 1 to 2 months at most. So I actually had to just take a pause, which was ideal because it was summer. So I didn't do any interview recording there. And also on that note of doing more episodes, I think I want to do that when we calm down a bit. We've been doing a whole bunch of other work, like some branding, marketing stuff, redoing our website now. There's a whole lot going on. And when we started that podcast, I didn't want to just have that commitment of doing once a week, because what's really important is consistency and not giving up, not making something that you can't stay consistent with because you got too stressed out or the work was too much. So I wanted to do that very methodically and be sure that once I started, I was able to keep it going. I do hope to ramp it up eventually, but we'll see. It's working quite well at the moment. We've got a lot of social media content, which is great. Although with the guests and the spacing of the episodes, I found there are periods of time where it's like the same guest in multiple posts in a row. Like if we do 10 videograms from an episode and we want to put those on Instagram, then we have like 2 weeks where every post is just the same guest. So we've had a discussion about trying to mix that up and alternate in somewhere I'm solo. So that's a consideration that came up. Time flew by, honestly, those 6 months. We did create a mass of content. Like if you start podcasting and then look back 6 months later at your episodes, at all the social content that you've created and any other content, it's a lot. We didn't really have anything on Instagram or anywhere else before we started this. And now looking back, we've got quite a collection, but it's only a fraction of what's actually possible with more time. Like 6 months is just a drop in the bucket. It's really not that much. Especially in the realm of growth and really seeing results, it's almost nothing, right? And of course, we haven't seen a whole lot of social media growth yet, which you don't necessarily need, but I like the presence. You know, it's there for people to see. We did have a few people already that we were on calls with that booked calls with us and mentioned, hey, I was looking at your Instagram. You don't really need a big audience. You don't necessarily need a whole bunch of followers, but having it there for potential clients to look at is great. So I'm really happy about that because I do these podcast episodes and I don't really have to think again about the social aspect. I know the team is making those videograms, they're getting posted, and it's on autopilot in that sense. I don't have to think about Instagram a whole lot. I do go on there and interact and sometimes we'll make other posts, but that's great. I actually, now that I'm aware of this, I find myself checking people's social media a lot more if it's someone that we're considering working with or just when I come across something or I'm doing a podcast audit, I'm looking closely at the social media. And you'd be surprised, every now and then I find people's websites like still linking to a profile, Instagram, for example, and they haven't updated it in 2 or 3 years. That's not a good look. You don't need to be on every platform, but you definitely don't want to be inactive and having people come and see and wonder, is this person still even in business? What's going on here? So yeah, social media has been great. The growth, it will come over time, but I'm not too concerned about having a giant audience because it can serve its purpose just as it is. I still am interested in getting a lot of our business through referrals, but you need social media, I believe, for some trust building and making connections. It's going to help the referrals because people will be able to go and see what we're all about, what I'm like, if they like me or not, they want to work with me or not. So I'm sure it will bring business. I'm mostly more comfortable now with being on social media. I'm not going to give up on it. I'm just going to continue to do what we're doing and it's going to do its thing. And with our high ticket offer now, especially, we don't need a giant audience. So our goal is not to have thousands of followers. It's just not necessary for what we're doing. Another thing here that I've been reflecting on, having done a podcast, is it gives you a different perspective doing it on your own versus helping others. There's a saying, there's a difference between knowing the path and walking the path. Because as I've mentioned, I've helped people with podcasts for many years, from the production, launching, all kinds of technical stuff, a bit of marketing chat. So I've been giving people that advice. But once you're actually doing it yourself, it's different. I know it takes consistency and providing a lot of value and time, but it's easier to just say that when you have to be the one who is patient. And you have to be the one putting your face out there and wondering if you're going to be judged and things like that. It is different, right? There's two guys, Colin and Samir. They're YouTubers and they talk about creating content. They speak with creators. They're saying 3 to 5 years for a YouTube channel. Like if you're serious about starting a YouTube channel and growing it, 3 to 5 years minimum. And I apply that to podcasting as well. I've said absolutely the bare minimum is 1 year, but even that is just not enough. And I'm realizing that even more 6 months in, it's not enough time to grow that big. Like you've got to be committed to these things if you're going to start, and just hang in there and keep doing it consistently. Get advice, get coaching, make sure you're doing a good job. You're doing everything possible so that when people do find you, they can convert into a client or they can enjoy your content. They don't get turned off and leave, but it's going to take time and consistency. It reminded me too of a few years back, actually during COVID, I started a coaching brand for podcasting. And I'm laughing now because I just didn't give it near as much time. Okay. I've started a lot of random projects over the years. I learned from those, but I always gave up way too soon. I think there's a lot to be said for picking something and sticking with it. Because all that time too, we had this business, East Coast Studio, which was quite successful. It was a good model. We knew how to do it. Everything was fine. But I'd always think, well, we got to grow and we got to start something else. And I started that coaching brand and I barely did anything for it. Like I made a course, which I put a lot of work into, but we didn't even come close to the amount of time and commitment needed to actually grow that business. And I just thought it was a failure, but really it's impossible for anything to work in that amount of time. I also found with the podcast, it gave us a nice way to talk to clients who I hadn't really spoken to before or regularly. And I like that because even though now with our new high ticket offer, we typically will do a quarterly call at minimum with our clients. Other than that, people usually I would do I'll call it a sales call. I don't really like to use that word, but an initial call up front to see if we want to work together. So some people I would do those, but it's maybe been 3 or 4 years since we spoke. Some we only ever spoke through email and we just haven't actually had a face-to-face, even online communication ever or in years. So some of the clients that we had on the podcast, I really like being able to connect with them. I think it helps solidify that relationship with your clients. So I really like that aspect of it. It was great to connect with these people. I've learned a lot about content creation. The amount of value that you have to put out there has to be big. There's so much competition. You obviously want to be unique as well in what you're doing. So don't feel that you have to have a totally new thought with every piece of content that you post, but you do want to give a high amount of value. And this podcast has been a great push for me to provide value once I've seen what others are doing, plus understanding our ideal client and what it is that they need. I learned a lot from thinking about that. I learned a lot from having guests on. Because for a long time, before we, in the last 1 to 2 years, started this new rebrand and marketing push, I didn't really know who our ideal client was. It was kind of whoever had a podcast. But thanks to a business consultant, I was able to start thinking about that more. And now that we're putting content out there, I understand the importance of really thinking, is this content useful to this ideal client? So I've learned a lot about that by doing this podcast. And I've also had this thought like, oh yeah, it's actually, competition is hard. It's easy to fall stagnant. And we do a great, great job in the business here itself. But the marketing, the connecting, it's easy to just get comfy with serving clients, I've found, but not be looking at how to do even better or what's trending in the market or what others are doing. Not to say to be obsessed with competition. I don't like that. I don't think comparing yourself to others is really a good idea. But up until we started this whole new thing, I wasn't really looking at anyone, even say people who would be allies in the marketplace, not like our competition, but people we could collaborate with in the podcasting space. I wasn't really looking at much of that. And now that I am, you know, I'm much more on top of what's going on in the industry, the trends, things that we should be aware of, where things are headed, how I can better help my clients. I feel like I'm able to help people much better now that I'm doing this podcast and having to stay on top of things within the industry. And it's a lot of work. And I've also realized that this whole fact that I preach having help with your podcast and not doing it on your own. Yep. I've verified for myself, it makes a lot of sense. Just the preparation alone can be a lot. So having help is absolutely crucial. The last thing you want with a podcast is to double the amount of time that you spend on each episode because you're doing editing and all the other stuff on your own. Making sure that you're focused only on the tasks that you need to be doing and then letting the rest be handled by your team. Finally, I would like to get into some adjustments that I'm thinking about, some areas for improvement, and some next steps moving forward from here, from our first 6 months of podcasting. So as I always say, there is so much to learn and you should just begin. And I live that. I just started, right? I've gotten a lot more comfortable on camera and behind a mic, less scripted. I like to have some talking points laid out, but I am much better at not actually reading off a script, which I felt compelled to do early on. And it looked very bad on camera. So I'm really trying to get past that. I started without all the answers, and that's cool. Although I have experience working with podcasters for so many years, as I mentioned, when you're doing it, it's different. So for me being on here, it's been a great adventure. I've gotten much better. I've refined my skills. So we're always learning and making adjustments. Yes, I know a lot about podcasting, but once you're in the hot seat, it's a different perspective. And of course, we're going to be tweaking things along the way to help improve and make it better over time. So I'm glad that we just got started. Like that first 6 months, maybe it wasn't perfect, but the fact that we just dove in and started, that's just part of the process. It's not going to be perfect when you begin. I accepted that. I tell all of our clients to accept that. So remember, just go. You do want to get some help. You want to make sure you're on the right path. You're not making a fool of yourself. But otherwise, just accept that from the beginning, you're going to get better over time. We are adjusting our branding right now, as I've been talking about. We are focusing in on health and wellness related businesses. And I'd like to focus more on guests who are working within that industry, who have podcasts that are helping them with successfully running their business in the health space. So we'll be doing a little more of that, which I think will be very valuable to our ideal client. I'll still have occasional experts on, but I think that's the focus we're going to go on is more highlighting of actual clients who would be just like the people that we would want to work with, if that makes sense. So that's my focus for guests on the podcast. Now, it's tempting to have a lot of those expert type guests on your podcast, and it can bring your audience value, but it doesn't position you as an expert. And that's one of the big benefits of podcasting. So it's not that we need to eliminate guests altogether, but shift the type of guests that we have on and continue to do great jobs with solo episodes. So that's a thought that's in my mind. You know, so many guests that show up on Podmatch, for example, it's a website I use to connect with guests. There are so many that I think, wow, this person seems very interesting or be very useful to our audience. But remember this lens of your ideal client. You need to be very appealing to them, this podcast, your business. There are a lot of sources for other stuff. That's what I've had to remind myself. Like, yes, I want to help these clients, these ideal clients as much as possible, but they have a source for stuff that I don't specialize in. I don't need to give them all these episodes about social media content or whatever else, or business like taxes. I've never done an episode on that, but you can see my point. Yes, my ideal clients need to know about taxes, but it's just not my place to convey that information. They can get that somewhere else. So I really want to make sure that we're focusing on what we can uniquely offer right to those ideal clients. So consider that with your podcast and if you're having guests on, the type of guests, and same with your solo content. If you're doing it, what type of content are you putting out there, and is it most valuable to your ideal clients? We're getting a newsletter put together too, or I'm working on it, featuring our episodes. I would like to get some help with that. So that's something else on the radar. It's easy to repurpose this stuff. I'll say in quotes, it's easy. It's what I like about podcasting. I can just do the episode and then other things can happen like a newsletter, but I don't really want to just fire it into AI at this point and let it all just go on its own. Like, I want people behind it. I want quality content. So we're going to be having humans work on that. Also, one of our considerations for moving forward, something I touched on already, is this whole consideration of moving to weekly episodes instead of every 2 weeks. Yeah, I do want to make that jump. As I mentioned, the couple of episodes with just one guest wasn't really enough for connecting with guests. Not that it has to be the primary focus, but I've still got this fear of running out of guests, even though, like I said, we ended up with too many at the beginning and I had to pump the brakes. Like, I could be doing two guests a month and two solo episodes a month, but I'm still I'm a little hesitant to jump into that just yet with the other projects we have going on. There are so many people out there, so many podcasters, so many entrepreneurs. I don't think that worrying about having enough guests is really a realistic fear. It's just the capacity of me to keep on top of all the episodes. I really want to get to a point where I have a lot of other these one-time projects in the business done. And then I know that podcasting is one of the big things that I should be working on. I could go full bore into the podcast and ramping it up to once a week if I find that that's going to be a benefit for the business. So trust the process is one thing I'm thinking big time. Just know that you're on the right path, set yourself up for success, and keep doing it. That's what my takeaway is here, because we've learned a lot. We've made some adjustments. We're looking at what to adjust moving forward. But I know that we're doing great things and just got to keep at it, right? So hopefully that was good and gave you some insight into podcasting. If you are considering starting or you're newer, that was our first 6 months. Perhaps you can relate. Would love to hear from you as well if you have any stories to share or questions. And I would greatly appreciate the classic review or rating on Apple or Spotify. That definitely does help the podcast. You can never have too many reviews. So if you could sign on to your preferred platform there and leave us a little positive comment, that would be great. And we'll chat to you next time. Join us again next time on Profits Through Podcasting for more tips on how to turn your podcast into a lead and revenue generation machine for your business. And if you're ready to let a team of professionals handle your entire podcast production workflow so you can focus on the most important tasks in your business, visit eastcoaststudio.com/apply.